Now I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand today. I'm staring at an empty grave. In the storm that you rolled away. And I was a turning point, you saw sun. When I left the 99, you saw the one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace.
Well, good morning. And happy Easter. Well, again, good morning and welcome to Grace Point Church. We are very happy that you're here to celebrate Easter. Our church, Grace Point Church, is excited about the possibility of doing some mission work in Guatemala. And the way that happened is one of our church members, Jonathan Sandifer, he's our acoustic guitarist, our vocalist. He's planning to go on a mission trip to Guatemala, and our church supported him. We gave $3,000 so he can get there and back and have over $1,000 still there that he can do missions with. Today, we are very blessed to have the two missionaries with us with whom he will work. So I have Eric and Rebecca McGeorge. They're going to come in, just say hello, introduce themselves to you. Would you give them a good Grace Point welcome at this point?
Good morning. I'm Rebecca McGeorge, and this is my husband, Eric.
Good morning.
He's like, I don't have to talk, right? No, you don't really have to talk. We are missionaries serving in San Juan, La Laguna, Guatemala, and we are humbled and privileged that your church would even consider opening your stage to us on Easter Sunday. So thank you so much for that. We're also humbled and privileged that your church would consider partnering with us as we minister in Guatemala. And I know that you're thinking, well, I don't know that our church has entered into a formal partnership with you as missionaries or with your ministry yet. And you haven't. But we consider your church a partner in Christ with us for more than one reason. Number one, we have an incredible brother in Christ that serves here in your local body. And that's more than enough to call you a partner. Number two, your church has been praying for us. And we know that because this brother in Christ has made sure that we know that. And number three, your church has given financially to the work that we're doing in Guatemala. So we would say, by all means, you have met all criteria to be a partner with Row 12 Ministries. So thank you. Thank you for your partnership with Row 12 Ministries. And thank you for what that means in our work in Guatemala and with our partnership with our Guatemalan partner, Impacto Ministry, Inc. So who is Row 12 Ministries? I know that John has told you a little bit about who we are and what we do, but our primary goal is to raise up, to train, equip, and send out missionaries, short-term missionaries, mid-term missionaries, and long-term indefinite missionaries. So when you choose to partner with us, you're choosing to partner with all kinds of missionaries who endeavor to serve and share the gospel around the world, not just in Guatemala, but in other places too, in their own backyards here in the States, across the nation, and around the world. What we do primarily in Guatemala is partner with a local ministry called Impacto Ministry, Inc. That ministry runs all kinds of programs and services in Guatemala that shares the gospel not only with children, but the elderly and community members across many villages in the highlands of central Guatemala. They also operate a Nueva Vida Bible Institute, raising up pastors and planting churches all over the country. So by your church's partnership with us in our ministry, you're a part of that multiplication as well. We can't thank you enough, and we look forward to more opportunities to partner with you in the future.
Thank you, Rebecca, for sharing. Thank you, Eric, for standing. I'm just kidding. That's just who we are as a church, or that's who I am as a person. But anyhow, I want to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to pray and get on with our music. We are celebrating the resurrection of Christ, and in Matthew chapter 28, seven verses describe what happened. It says, "The Sabbath was over, and it was almost daybreak on Sunday when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb of Jesus. Suddenly, a strong earthquake struck, and the Lord's angel came down from heaven. He rolled away the stone and sat on it. The angel looked as bright as lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards shook from fear and fell down as though they were dead. The angel said to the woman, 'Hey, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was nailed to a cross. He isn't here. God has raised him to life, just as Jesus said he would. Come, see the place where his body was lying. Now, hurry. Tell his disciples that he has been raised to life and is on his way to Galilee. Go there, and you will see him. This is what I came to tell you.'" Pray with me. God, this day we celebrate an event that changed history and has an impact positively on us today. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to die on the cross. And thank you, God, for raising him from the dead. May you show us today the difference in our lives that the resurrection makes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever seen moldy bread? You ever seen that? I know you have. We've all seen moldy cheese, moldy tomatoes, moldy cantaloupe. All of us have seen that in our fridges, in the bread holder where we just haven't tended to it for some time. It's very interesting that something we don't particularly want to see, mold, led to the development of penicillin. The first nickname for penicillin was mold juice. Scottish bacteriologist Alexander Fleming accidentally discovered the antibiotic in 1928, and it's estimated that penicillin has saved close to 200 million lives. Without its discovery and implementation, 75% of the people alive today would not be alive, because their ancestors would have succumbed to infection. We needed the power of penicillin to protect us from disease and premature death. Seems a little strange to think that what most of us don't like, mold, has enough inherent power in it to save 200 million lives. Today we're going to talk about Easter and how the resurrection of Jesus can change our lives, can save our lives. Today we're going to be talking about resurrection, power that can change your life. Now, I hope on the way in you got your bulletin. If you look in there right now, pull out the outline. Usually I have people fill in blanks, but I filled them in for you. You're welcome. So all you need to do is follow along. Resurrection power that can change your life. So what might we need power for? Have you ever need power to change your situation, but you felt powerless? Or to change a relationship? Or how about power to change yourself? Or maybe you need power to stop a bad habit. Have you ever had a personal energy crisis? Some of us are going through that right now, even as we sit here. You're just out of steam. Where do we get the power to change the tide of our lives? Some of us need power just to keep going day by day, maybe in your relationships, maybe in a career, maybe in relationship to your children or your relationship to your parents. Maybe it's just with life itself in general. Where do you get the power to make those kind of changes to help you along? That power is available through the resurrected Jesus. The resurrection we celebrate today is all about power, a power that can change your life. Look on your outline, look on the screen. There's a verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, where the Apostle Paul wrote this: "All I want is to know Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection." That's all. Paul said, that's all I want to know, the power of his resurrection. And Paul also wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, he said this: "I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to those who believe him. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead." Easter, the resurrection of Christ, is the most powerful event in all of history. The resurrection of Jesus proved he is who he said he was, the Son of God. No one has ever beaten death before except Jesus. No one has ever beaten death now, nor will they beat death in the future except for Jesus. So the question begs to be answered: what is resurrection power? It's there. I always like to read a Bible passage and then ask the question, so what? So what difference can that make in my life or in other people's lives? Resurrection is, number one, the power to cancel your past failures. I'm talking about our failures, our mistakes, our regrets, our sins. And when I say cancel, I'm not talking about just denying your past, pretending that it didn't happen. To cancel means to eliminate, to neutralize, to offset. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been halfway through a project and something happened and you went, man, I wish I could start over? Have you ever done that? I wish I could start over. I found some pictures that you might be able to identify with. Look at this picture right here. This poor lady climbing the ladder and the whole paint just drops all over her. Ever had that happen? I have. Recently. My jeans tell the story. Look at this next picture. You ever heard of painting yourself into a corner? How'd you like to paint yourself into the middle of a room? Come on now. I've never done that. How about this next one? Duck cement. That guy laid this out and a duck walked all over it. I'll bet he could just wish he could start over or find the duck. Someone didn't build a very good load-bearing wall. Oh my gosh. Time to start over. I love this last one. Anybody here a cat lover? Love cats, kittens? Okay. Look at this. Put the kitty entry on the wrong side of the door. Good thing cats can jump up, right? A lot of people feel this way about life, wishing they could just start over. And we say to ourselves, I've made so many mistakes, I have so many failures, I've made so many bad decisions, I just wish we could wipe them out and start over again. Do you know what God says about your past? A lot of us have things that we've been told that God says about our past, and a lot of them are not positive. You know what God says about your past? God says it's unnecessary for you to go around beating yourself up about your past. God says you don't need to go walking around with a heavy load of guilt or old hurts over memories and mistakes. Why not? Because look at this verse. In Colossians 3:14, the Apostle Paul said this: He, God, look, he has forgiven our sins and canceled every record of the debt we had to pay. Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. I want you to underline a couple of things in that verse. Forgiven all our sins, just underline it, and then underline canceled every record of the debt we had. You know what? Just underline the whole verse, because there's good stuff in that verse. He canceled the debt we had to pay for our sins and mistakes. It's done away with. You don't have to go through the guilt over and over and over again. God canceled the records of our sin. Folks, listen to me. That is good news. You know what? That is great news. God has completely done away with our sins through what Jesus did for us on the cross. It was on the cross where Jesus was hung up for our hang-ups. He was punished on the cross so we wouldn't have to be punished for our sins. And because of what Jesus did, we can be forgiven of every sin we've ever committed. We can have complete and total forgiveness for everything we've ever done wrong. Listen to me. Everything. Everything. Jesus did not come to condemn you. He came to change you. And because of the resurrection, there is power now available to cancel out all you've done wrong. And when God cancels your past, it allows you to get on with your future. Look at this good news. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Paul said this, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Are those two words, no condemnation, underlined in your outline? No? No one has an outline? If they're not underlined, underline them. There's no. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When Jesus was dying on the cross, one of the things he said from the cross was a three-word statement. It is finished. That phrase means to bring to a close, to complete, to fulfill. It means paid in full. It means to be canceled. It's what they would stamp on a bill once you paid all that you owed. They would put canceled. You don't owe it any longer. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid for every mistake everyone, anyone has made. Jesus was crucified on the cross so you could quit crucifying yourself. When you commit your life to Jesus and ask him to take control of your life from that point forward and forever, you're under no condemnation, none. Instead, you are forgiven. And if God of the universe, the perfect God, can forgive us, you know what? We then can forgive ourselves as well. No need to beat yourself up anymore. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, all that's taken care of. Resurrection power cancels your past. One man said to his friend, "You look depressed. What do you think about?" The guy said, "My future." The guy said, Why do you look so hopeless?" He said, "Because of my past." You ever feel like that? But because of the crucifixion and Easter, the resurrection, Jesus can and wants to forgive you of your past. No one can go back in their life and make a brand new start. But in Jesus, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. It's not how you start life that matters, folks. It's how you finish. Jesus is the power that cancels sin. He cancels all your shortcomings, all your failures, all your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Easter gave Jesus the power to forgive your failure. Secondly, Easter resurrection also gives you, number two, the power to conquer your problems. The power to conquer your problems. You don't have to look very far to know people have problems. Think about the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. As you know, I'm from Baltimore. I've been over that bridge. When Libby and I go back to visit, we drive over that bridge. And now, think, 30,000 cars commuted over that bridge every day. Now what are they going to do? They have major problems. We all have problems. It's part of life. Listen to me. If you don't have any problems, check your pulse. I'm wondering about that. We all struggle. The problem with our problems is that we try to solve them in our own power, and that's one reason we feel so tired and exhausted, because we're expending an enormous amount of energy trying to handle all of our problems by ourselves, and we can't do it. But because of the resurrection of Christ, we can have the power to conquer our problems. Look again at what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and 37. Paul said this, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or danger? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us." Notice the word conquerors there. According to Webster, conquer means one who overcomes by gaining control. Many people feel today that their lives are out of control. Have you ever felt like that? You want to be in control, but it's like other people are controlling your life, other circumstances are controlling your life, and your head is just spinning around. Life is going by at breakneck speeds, and it's all we can do to negotiate the turns. And if we're honest, we have to admit sometimes we've wiped out because we struggle with problems. Some of you will remember it was a Saturday, April 11th, 1970, when James Lovell, Jack Swigert, and Fred Hayes blasted off into space at 2:30 in the afternoon aboard Apollo 13, the third mission that was supposed to land on the moon. But 14.5 minutes after liftoff, oxygen tank number 2 blew up, causing the number 1 tank to also fail. The crew didn't know it at that time. They knew something happened. When they were 200,000 miles from Earth, James Lovell said that phrase we all knew well, "Houston, we have a problem." Every human, including every person here, could repeat those same words. We have a problem. More specifically, we could say, "I have a problem." Let's get real. I have problems. Right? The question is, what kind of problems are you struggling with right now? Maybe it's a chronic health problem which prevents you from enjoying life the way you thought you would do at this stage of your life. Maybe your problems revolve around a rebellious child or a teen who won't listen. They don't do well in school. Maybe they're doing drugs. Or maybe your problems revolve around an unfit parent who are way too hard on you as a child, abusing you verbally, physically, not meeting your needs the way they need to be met. Problems sometimes can be created because of a spouse who maybe was unfaithful, which created deep and unrelenting emotional pain in your heart and soul as your dreams of the perfect family were literally washed away. Maybe you experience problems that stem from uncontrollable bouts with depression or anxiety, manic episodes which have altered the way you've had to live your life. I can identify with that. Those of you who are Grace Point folks on a regular basis know I struggle with that stuff. I do. Maybe you have career problems when you were passed over with a promotion that you deserved and they just looked and said, "No, we're going to give it to somebody else." Maybe problems of an unexpected origin, like the day you go to your doctor only to find out that cancer is eating away at your body and the prognosis is grim. How about the sad problem of now knowing that your spouse, your parent, your grandparent is in the late stages of dementia and nothing can relieve them of the symptoms that they're going through of this degenerative disease? How many of you remember at the beginning of the year 2020, we were all hoping for another great year, right? 2020, brand new start, made my New Year's resolutions. I failed on every one of them by the 10th of January, but I still have hope. And then in the middle of March in 2020, COVID hit. And we had no clue what it was, what it would do. And all of a sudden, we stay at home. We can't even go get groceries. There's no food on the shelves. And that COVID came crashing down on us. And soon we realized our lives as we knew them would never be the same. Many of you know my full-time job is a chaplain in a hospital, and I can't tell you how many patients whose hands I held as they were going through their struggle, many of whom died. And the sad thing about it was they died usually way too young. But the family members couldn't go back to the ICU to see them because of the COVID. And the family members, I had to go talk with them about the loved one who just... And it's heartbreaking, folks. We all have problems. Maybe you struggle with spiritual problems. Listen, I know people think when they come into a church, we're not just supposed to admit we have spiritual problems. You can admit it here. It's okay. We all know it. Maybe something happened to you in your life. You were abused, mistreated. Loved ones who were supposed to protect you and love you and care for you didn't. And you wonder, where is a loving God through all of this? And I'm angry at him. It's okay to be angry at God. It really is. What problems are you facing this morning? Enough about problems. Look at the good news, all right? There's good news here. Look what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or danger? No. In all of these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loves us. If you let Jesus control your life, the Bible says here that nothing can ultimately destroy you or devastate you. No matter how dark or how hopeless it is, God can turn it around. God can give you the power you need to get through it. Sometimes he takes you out of it. Sometimes he lets you walk through it. But in either case, he'll bring you through. And at some point in time, the ultimate answer will be, we might die physically, but when you believe in Christ, you get resurrected too. Initially, your spirit goes to heaven instantly. The very nanosecond that you take your last breath, bam! You're in heaven at the feet of Jesus. And you're finally catching up with friends and family members who went there before you, and you join them in the time of worshiping God, having fellowship, and you're just waiting for God to fix it all once and for all. Resurrection gives you the power to cancel your past. It gives you the power to conquer your problems. And last, number three, the resurrection gives you the power to change your personality. Now we're getting personal. It doesn't matter what type of personality you have, there's always room for improvement. Let me ask this question to you. What would you like to change about yourself? What comes to mind? What would you like to change about yourself? Let me put it another way. What would your spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend like to change about you? Now the list gets longer. What would your child or parents say they'd like to change about you? Maybe we'd get a more accurate response that way. One wife said it this way. My husband is so temperamental. He's 90% temper and 10% mental. Fill this in. It's just like me too. It's just like me to always be late, to be moody, to be insecure. It's just like me to be lazy, to be a workaholic, to worry, to not follow through with my promises. It's just like me to make excuses, to get angry, to say things I regret. It's just like me to fill in the blank. The good news is that God has the power to change our personalities. He uses a two-step process. First, our initial commitment to Christ is the beginning of God changing our personality. It's the time when we ask Jesus into our lives to forgive us of our sin and to take control of our life. That's the first step. Jesus, I don't understand it all. I don't have to. All I know is you died on the cross so my sins could be forgiven. You were resurrected, and now I ask you to come into my life. Take control. Save me. Whatever words you need to use, you make that commitment to him. Jesus comes into your life, and he starts to change you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul said, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Some people, when they get saved, they know it. They can feel it. They can sense it. They're happy something happened to them. Some people, when they get saved, don't have the emotional feeling, and they think maybe they're not. That's not true. Just because our emotions are a little out of whack doesn't mean Jesus doesn't come into your life and save you when you ask him to. He does. The beginning process is you make a commitment to Christ, but it is a lifelong process. Romans 12:2, Paul said this, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but let God remake you so that your whole attitude of mind is changed. Once you commit your life to Jesus, God begins the process of changing you from the inside out, so that your whole attitude and your mind is changed, Paul said. Listen, folks, listen. This takes time, because we need a lot of changing. God has the power to do it if you will let Him to. One major obstacle for you allowing God to change your life is procrastination. Putting it off till sometime in the future what you know you could and should do today. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait till next week. I'm going to wait till I get a few more things straightened out in my life. I'm going to get to it. No, that's procrastination. You're just waiting for no good reason, and you have no timeline on when you're going to stop waiting. There's a story in the Bible about the plagues of Egypt. If you remember, the Egyptians had the Jewish people as prisoners, and finally God said, you know what? I'm going to send some plagues to the earth, and He did. And finally, Pharaoh said, enough is enough, because God sent a plague of frogs. As a matter of fact, frogs were everywhere. When the frog plague came, the frogs overwhelmed the water, the land, the food. The Bible says they were even in the houses. The Bible also says those frogs were in the beds. Now, I don't know about you folks. I really don't like frogs. I won't touch them. I think they are nasty. One day, you know those little tree frog things? They're about this big. Don't ask me how, but one day, one got in my house. And he was on my hardwood floor right next to the door. And Libby's like, Kevin, get rid of them. I'm like, I ain't touching them. There's no way. So I did what any self-respecting adult would do in that situation. I called my neighbor. That frog peed on my floor. My neighbor was gracious, came over and got the frog out. Libby laughed at me, but that's okay. It was kind of funny. No frog getting to my house anymore. It's very interesting in this story about the plagues. Moses said, let my people go. He said, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. Why would anyone spend one more night in the bed with the frogs? That's what procrastination is. Why are you putting off what you know you could do today? What are you waiting for? There is no better time than right now to give Jesus Christ control of your life. Now the question is, how do you do that? How do I allow Jesus to begin controlling my life and to forgive me of my sins, to start making a positive change in my life, my personality? How? Folks, listen to me. It's not complicated. Not complicated at all. It's pretty simple. I think it's on your outline. Look what it says. First of all, you simply need to admit that God hasn't been first place in your life. You ask Him to forgive you. That's really simple. There's a verse, John, 1 John 1:9, that says, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All you have to do is say, God, I'm sorry. I have sinned. I have past things that I regret. God, I'm sorry. You haven't had first place in my life. When you confess it, God forgives it. Number two, you admit it first, and then you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess that Jesus is your Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Underline that last phrase. You will. Underline that word will 2 or 3 times. You will be saved. If you believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, you will be saved. You don't have to understand it all theologically. You just have to know that it happened and that you want Jesus to forgive you. And then you go on to number three. You accept God's free gift of salvation. Don't try to earn it. A gift is free. If you think you have to earn a gift or pay for it, it's no longer a gift. the gift of eternal life, of forgiveness of our sins, it is a gift that we receive from God by grace. Matter of fact, Paul put it this way in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It is by grace, undeserved, God's undeserved mercy. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works. So no one could boast about it. You accept God's free gift. And then number four, invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and be the manager, the Lord of your life. John 1:12, the Bible says this, to those all who receive him, he gives the right to become the child of God. All we need to do is trust him to save us. All those who believe this are reborn, not a physical rebirth, but from the will of God. Folks, because of the resurrection, Jesus has the power to cancel your past, conquer your problems, and change your personality. Let him do that for you. Do it now. Start now. All you need to do is ask him. I want to pray a prayer that you can pray. I want to pray a prayer. I think it's on your outline. I want to pray this prayer with you. And if you say this prayer, if you pray this prayer, you don't have to do it out loud verbally. You can just do it in your mind and in your heart silently. If you want to pray it out, you can. If you pray this prayer and you mean it and you're sincere and you receive Jesus into your heart, the Bible says all the stuff I've talked about this morning now applies to your life. So I want you just to close your eyes and bow your head for just a minute. If you want to look at your outline, you can do that. Maybe you're ready to pray this prayer. God, thank you for sending your Son into the world so we could be forgiven. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross so our sins could be forgiven once and for all. And as much as I understand, God, as much as I can comprehend, I ask you to come into my life and take control of my life. I ask you, Jesus, to be my Savior. And I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you. Thank you for forgiving me. Going forward, God, help me to learn about you. Help me to grow in my love for you. Help me to follow you. This, God, is my day that I ask you to save me. And I thank you that you have. I pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, if you meant it, you were sincere in your heart and your mind, I want to thank you and I want to welcome you into God's family. Not to Grace Point Church, we're part of God's family, but the entirety of God's family. You're now a believer, you're a Christian, you're saved. All those words now apply to you. You're a child of God. If you would like us to know that, the staff, the pastor to know that, in just a few minutes, you're gonna. Matter of fact, get it out now. Inside your bulletin, I hope you also received a Connect card. If there's any kind of decision, you can write on the back side where the lines are, or you can check off one of the boxes or more of the boxes if they apply to you. Just write it there. If you want to give us your name, we'd love that. Now listen to me. Only the pastors get these cards. No one else sees them. Everything you put on here is confidential. But if you made a commitment to Jesus, all you got to write there, say, I got saved today, or I committed my life to Jesus. Matter of fact, there's a box. I made a decision to follow Christ. Just do that. Then at the end of the service, during our response time or before you leave, there's a white box here in the back. Just take these and put it in the white box. We'll get that information for you. We'll rejoice with you. We'll be happy with you. And if you want us to, we'll get back to you. Now, some of you here are already Christians. But maybe today on Easter Sunday, you've realized you've been trying to live your life on your own and you've gotten out of God's power. It's time to come back. You know, and sometimes, you know, no matter how many steps you walk away from God, no matter how far you walk away from God, you know what? It only takes one step to come back. Just one step. Maybe as a believer here today, you need to take that one step and come back to God. Some of you here may need some prayer. There'll be a couple of us down front when we sing this song in just a minute. If you'd like to come, talk with us. We'll pray with you. We'll keep everything confidential. Some of you may need to go over to the cross. Some people already have. On that table over there are some papers and pencils and pens. You can literally write whatever you want to. I love God. I need prayer. This is what I'm going through. That is between you and God. The pastors don't even see that. Fold it up, and literally you can nail it to the cross and leave it there and say, Jesus, I'm leaving there. Putting it there at the cross, leaving it in your hands. We serve communion here. We have communion here every week. There's a table in the back there, and down here. You can take communion today if you'd like to do that. All right? So at our church, during our response time, we move. We move around. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But some people will. Just want to make you know that that's going to happen. I'm going to pray. Our band's going to come back and lead us in this response song, okay? Pray with me, please. God, it's good to celebrate the resurrection of your Son. And Jesus, thank you that you were willing to die on the cross for us, knowing by faith that you would be resurrected. And now you are. We don't sit here and celebrate what we hope happened. We celebrate what we know happened. You came back to life. And because of that, you have victory and power that no one else has. And Jesus, today we celebrate that and we ask you to help us live in that power, live in your forgiveness. Now, God, there are some people here who made decisions. Maybe they're Christians and they just want to recommit their lives or recommit a part of their lives to you. Bless them. And maybe some here, God, prayed that prayer to receive Jesus in their heart. Thank you for that. Now, as we respond in the way you want us to, bless that time as well. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Happy Easter to everyone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great celebration of victory over death. There's no greater victory than that. We thank you for your resurrection, Lord. And on this day and every day, remind us of the victory we have because of your resurrection. We pray a happy Easter right here and a resurrection day around the world. May we all rejoice together. We pray it in Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.